When I married my first wife, I retained a lawyer. Maybe I should have seen this as a red flag, but he was an immigration lawyer, and I was told having him would make my life easier, and paying his outrageous fees would also make my life easier. But I was told that he would ensure a smooth path to citizenship. I obtained my green card through marriage. When you go this route, as opposed to the employment-based route, you're given what's called conditional permanent residency, which really amounts to a green card with strings. You're expected to stay married for 2 years before that condition is removed. My marriage to a woman I'll call Sarah didn't make it to the two-year mark. We were separated and initiated divorce proceedings within the first year and a half. So in the days after we decided to divorce, I was standing in my living room, which surveying the bare landscape of it. And I had this, oh, fuck, moment. The strings that had connected me to that green card had been cut. It took me a few days to get up the courage to call my lawyer. As a Jew, I've been trained from birth to expect and fear the worst, so I just assumed he was going to tell me that I'd have to go back to Canada. It was a really strange phone call. I told him that Sarah and I were going to get divorced, and he offered up some perfunctory expression of sympathy, and then immediately launched into this 47-minute explanation of basically explaining if the marriage had been entered into in good faith and we'd made efforts to save that marriage, then the green card could still be granted. I know it was 47 minutes because his bill showed up in the mail about 3 days later. This good faith stipulation is peculiar. There's a surprising bit of humanity in the fact that the government is willing to acknowledge that sometimes marriages don't in fact work out, and that they're still willing to grant immigration benefits even when they do, even when they don't work out. Excuse me. And this shouldn't have been difficult for Sarah and I. We'd already established that our intentions were good and honorable when we sat down for that first interview with the Immigration Service to establish my conditional permanent residency. We all know this interview. It's the one where they ask you all sorts of personal questions, trying to ascertain whether you're actually living together as husband and wife. What is the name of your wife's teddy bear? What is a term of endearment she calls you? What color are your towels? No, not those towels, the dish towels. So we answered all their questions. We gave them love letters, we gave them love emails, we gave them our wedding invitations and photos, travel itineraries from our vacations and our honeymoon, more mundane things like utility bills and bank statements. And we passed with flying colors. And a year and a half later, I found myself having to gather a whole new slew of evidence to support that, one, that we'd been living together since that initial interview, and two, we had tried but failed to save the marriage. So again, I found myself compiling photos and utility bills and bank statements, and this time they were accompanied by our separation agreement, our divorce decree, and the bills from our couple's therapist. They really wanted those bills. It was the only documented proof that we had that we had tried to save the marriage. So I had to enter into this weirdly intimate relationship with the federal government once again. And if that first interview that I described was a bit intrusive, it was okay, because we were pretty much shining a light on all the good things in our relationship. This time, I was expected and required to share in painful detail all the failings of my marriage. So the centerpiece of this file that I had to send in was a sworn affidavit that I had to write, which detailed my entire history with Sarah. And I'll read a little bit of it to you. And keep in mind that this is being read by complete strangers and who are presumably, overworked bureaucrats sitting in cramped cubicles and bad lighting and, So here's a little bit of the affidavit. My intentions in marrying Sarah were very clear. I would pursue a career in academia. She would start her own business. And we would make a life with one another with the plan of starting a family after 3 or 4 years of marriage. I had no doubt that Sarah would make a wonderful partner, wife, and mother. After our honeymoon, we returned to our home in Baltimore. Our life following the wedding was not very different from the life we lived together before. I continued to work towards my PhD. Sarah was a good friend and spouse at this time. She encouraged me to find satisfaction in my work. Sadly, over time, we began to grow apart. I think Sarah felt my progress in school was too slow and she grew anxious about it. I offered reassurances that we were both aspiring for the same kind of life, owning a home, having a family, being able to provide a life of comfort for that family. I was confident that we would have this life together, but Sarah grew very concerned and that concern turned into anxiety and disappointment. I grew increasingly frustrated by how judgmental she was becoming. We tried to talk about it, but it became increasingly tense and difficult to speak about these things. Our physical intimacy also suffered greatly as a result, a situation that made us both unhappy. We had long conversations about the state of our relationship, what things were wrong and what was right. Over the course of those conversations, it became clear that the difficulties we had were not reconcilable, and we realized that we would need to get a divorce. It was incredibly hard, and it was an incredibly hard and sad conclusion to reach. We both felt the other was a good, decent person, but we could no longer be together as spouses. So I sent all this stuff off to the government and waited for their decision. So over the months, I'd read newspaper accounts of the backlogs and delays at the Immigration Service, and I'd think, shit, this is gonna take forever. And then in the next panicked, paranoid moment, I think that my case was the entire cause of the backlog at the Immigration Service. I imagine teams of investigators combing over my file, scrutinizing documents, comparing photos that I'd taken of us before we were married to those after, and trying to discern that magical quality of good faith and seeing if it was sufficiently present. So in my work as a public health researcher, I spend a lot of time thinking about latent variables. That's latent, L-A-T-E-N-T, as opposed to explicit. These are variables that you can't observe or measure directly. You have to infer them from things that you can observe. So frailty, depression, quality of life, these are all examples of latent variables. In research, we often rely on one theory or another to guide our understanding and measurement of these latent variables so that we can avoid simply throwing together a bunch of things or variables that appeal to us simply on the basis of our intuitions. And we try and limit our discretion by testing those intuitions against, an organized system of accepted knowledge. That's what theory is, and seeing how it shakes out. So good faith is, to me, like one of these latent variables. We have immigration rules and laws and regulations that deal in minutiae, that try and anticipate all sorts of contingencies. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to the discretion of strangers, making judgments about very human messes and judgments that can fundamentally alter the course of your life. And in the end, I was, you know, they determined that our marriage was a good faith one, and I was granted full and unconditional permanent residency. So I'll stop there. Thank you.